The polls show various different results coming out of tonight's caucus, but one former Iowa journalist says that those surveys are absolutely more of a guess than polling done from any other type of election in the U.S. Herb Strentz is a former executive secretary of Iowa's Freedom of Information Council. In an op-ed he co-wrote in the New York Times last month, Strentz wrote that Iowa's Democrats shun public disclosure of voter preferences at their caucuses, something rarely reported on by the media. So when Democrats begin caucusing tonight, the first votes for candidates will not be released to the press. But instead, the Democrats release a percentage of Democrat equivalents. WMNF spoke with Strentz today and asked him what the percentage of Democratic equivalents means.
Well, a delegate equivalent, the Democratic Party in the state basically apportions 2,500 delegates across the state to be won or awarded at precincts based on voter turnout at the two previous general elections. So suppose your precinct has, let's just say 1% of the total vote turnout of the last two elections of the Democratic turnout, then you would get 1% of the 2,500 delegates, or basically 2.5. And they're apportioned that way.
Okay, so under the formulas used to apportion delegates, you've written that it's possible that the candidate with the highest percentage of delegate equivalents, that is, the winner, if you will, didn't really lead in the popular vote at the caucuses.
Right.
That seems kind of crazy.
It does, and it would be nice. One of the troubling things about it is in the 30-plus years of the caucuses, no study has ever been done seeing what correlation there is between popular support and delegate equivalents. And sometimes that's not necessary because it's such a landslide where one candidate wins 60 or 70% of the delegate equivalents, so it's clear that that person has won. But in this year's caucuses, where the spread between, say, Edwards, Obama, and Clinton is likely to be only 2 or 3%, there the delegate equivalents will be meaningless if you're interested in popular support.
And also, and I think this has been well reported, the fact that a candidate must get at least 15% of the vote inside the caucus to even
go
further.
Yeah, to get one delegate.
Right.
To be assured of one delegate.
So if candidates get 14% in several different precincts, and therefore, you know, in terms of what that percentage would be total vote, we'll never know that and never have known that.
Right. And another thing that your listeners should know is that again, you have these 2,500 statewide delegates, but a county, well, say, for example, my precinct, or Urbandale 9, just outside Des Moines, will likely have about 9 delegates to award. That's determined by the county. But then on a statewide basis, they may give us, based on our previous election turnout, only, say, 1 delegate. And so, if, say, Clinton and Obama and Edwards split with 3 delegates each in delegate equivalents, that might work out to 0.3, 0.3, 0.3 on a statewide basis.
We're speaking with Herb Strentz. He's the former executive secretary of Iowa's Freedom of Information Council. Herb, this is something that only the Democrats do. The Republicans don't. What's the answer? Why do the Democrats do it this way?
Well, the fear is their fear. Well, there are two reasons. One is the fear that if we have a straight count, it'll be too much like a primary. The other factor is that the caucus procedure in the Democratic Party, which focuses on Democratic turnout at the previous two elections, is used kind of as a party-building activity to encourage more turnout by Democrats and Democrats voting democratically at the general elections. So you have two things working. One is the caucus design is to build party support in general elections, and then it's also to give Iowa, if you will, a mark of distinction by having the first in the nation caucus instead of the primary. Now, they could do that, and the Democratic Party, one of the things that's troubling is that they could maintain this delegate equivalency, but why not release and make available the voter preferences at the start as well, and basically try to have your cake and eat it too.
Well, Herb, you and former reporters there in Iowa, have you been challenging the Democratic Party to do that?
No, this thing comes up once every 4 years. The arguments are raised, and people seem pretty much happy with the way it is. One of my concerns is not so much the way they do it, but that oftentimes the news media in Iowa and outside Iowa report the Democratic results and Republican results as the same way when they're markedly different. And so your listeners should bear in mind that when they see that Romney got 25% of the Republican vote, that's a solid 25%. If it shows that Obama got 25% of the Democratic vote, well, that's 25% of the delegate equivalents. And he could be really, Mitch, he could be anywhere from 20 to 40% of the popular vote and still wind up with 25% reported.
Just as a separate thing, Herb, you've been in Iowa for a long time, of course. What do you make of the media coverage this year? It seems to be the strongest it's Iowa ever has had. There were some who were concerned in Iowa that it might lose its impact this year because of all the earlier primaries, but instead it's actually had more importance, it seems like.
Right. They moved up. The parties tried to minimize, I think, the impact of New Hampshire and Iowa by moving other primaries up closer, but I think that's had a reverse effect. My general impression of the coverage so far has been pretty good. Unfortunately, too much of the horse race mentality. But the thing that's impressed me the most, really, Mitch, is the volunteers and the people who come out and work on behalf of their candidates. That's a source of inspiration and optimism out of the whole process.